in our continuing study of our Bible correspondence course for the last year and three quarters. We are upon lesson 13, the Feast of Tabernacles, and today we're beginning part one. Yahweh's assembly in Yahshua, as you know, offers the Bible correspondence course, the purpose of which is to help the participant discover foundational truths found in the Holy Bible, a necessity for the faithful believer. A Reader's Digest of this course is provided in our mini-study entitled Fundamentals of Faith, found online at yaiy.org. It is our prayer that taking this course will be an edifying and enjoyable experience for you. Today's discussion is on Lesson 13, Feast of Tabernacles, Part 1. And as we look at this familiar chart, we see the circle of months beginning at the top, the first month of the biblical year, which is in the Gregorian calendar found in March. But we're down at the in the seventh month, studying about tabernacles, which is from the 15th through the 21st days of the seventh month. Lesson 13. The coming kingdom is something that the world is in need of. A time when Yahweh's law will be in force for all. A time when there can be true peace and prosperity, the time that is ahead of us, a reality for those trusting and loving the Father's word, which promises a 1,000-year rule on earth. His kingdom, with Yahshua as king, who will rule with a rod of iron, will have no end, but will last forever and ever. This is the promise of numerous scriptures found in both the Old and New Testaments. It is alluded to in the Feast of Tabernacles as symbolic of that 1,000-year reign. In the next lesson, we are going to be talking about what happens after that 1,000-year reign, but for now, we're going to stick to the Feast of Tabernacles, which is one of the most joyous of feasts that Yahweh has for his people and all those who instead will join in keeping this week-long gathering. The first day is a high Sabbath, the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, a holy convocation in which no regular work is to be done. And typically, we find that brethren will save up a commanded second tithe for traveling to this feast, which is one of the three annual sojourning feasts. The other two are the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of Weeks, both of them symbolic of harvest time, the first harvest in the springtime, the second in the summer, and tabernacles in the fall. Many people plan their vacation time around this feast in obedience to Yahweh. It is also time for reflection of what it must have been like for the Israelites as they left Egypt behind, as they went forward to worship Yahweh at the location he presented. And today we will keep the feast, today meaning in these times, we keep the feast where he places his name, as with all the appointed times, and a time to thank Yahweh for the blessings he has given to us. There are almost daily Bible studies when we do celebrate the feast, along with daily messages from scriptures, which help rejuvenate those in attendance. It has been described as a recharging of one's batteries. And if we study science, we know that the body is just one huge electrolyte. That's one reason why in the summertime, when there's a lot of light around, we have a lot of energy. In the winter, we know there are those who have what's called seasonal depression. And a part of that, I believe, is because there's not a lot of sunlight. People who have seasonal depression often will use artificial lights that have full range of light that they would have gotten in the summertime that helps their depression. Interesting how Yahweh has created us. This feast starts at the beginning of the 15th day of the 7th scriptural month and lasts through the 21st. There is a holy convocation called the 8th day, often referred to as the last great day or the day of the white throne judgment, which we will be covering in the next lesson. The Messiah will rule the earth with a rod of iron during this 1,000-year reign, the 7th day in prophetic terms. This will be a time when all resistance and defiance will be put down. For nations will not receive rain for their crops who do not keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It seems evident that in spite of Satan's impact on mankind before he will be thrown into the pit, those who enter into or are born during the millennial reign of the Messiah will still need to overcome their flesh. Anyone in the kingdom who blasphemes the name of Yahweh, for example, will be judged and put to death as the law of Yahweh demands. The natural world, on the other hand, during this time, will be changed. The lamb will lay down next to the wolf, and a child will play near a snake's den, yet no harm will come to any of them. Nature, as originally created by Yahweh, will once again be a world without violence. Won't that be something? Hallelujah. Mankind will see firsthand how Yahweh's spirit and laws will help bring about the needed change of heart and nature that is so needed in the world today. The Feast of Tabernacles and the future fulfillment of it in the coming kingdom will be the most joyous time in man's history, especially for those who are in the first resurrection. Man will finally learn that there is a better way, an unselfish way, a way that Yahweh has set forth from the beginning in which we should live, so that we might indeed experience life that Yahweh intended for us. In the kingdom, the cities that were destroyed during the tribulation will need to be rebuilt, but will not be built in the same way. And a healing will need to occur as people learn to obey Yahweh and do His will. In lesson 13, there's a series of questions, and question number one asks, does the Feast of Tabernacles show the righteous millennial rule of our soon-coming king, Yahshua the Messiah? And for answer to that, let's take a look at Zechariah 14, verses 16 through 17, which reads, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left, who's remaining, of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth who do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, on them there will be no rain." Yahweh's reign will also impact nature, which we read in Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh as the waters cover the sea." though the significance of the Feast of Tabernacles was lost for a period of time due to Israel's rebellion, Yahweh saw to it that his law was restored. In Nehemiah, we read about this in chapter 8, verse 17. So the whole assembly of those who had not, for those who had returned from the captivity, made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua of Nun, son of Nun, since then, until that day, the children of Israel had not done so, and there was very great gladness. So while pondering the future seventh millennial reign of the Messiah, let us consider what it must have been like when the Israelites were led by Moses out of Egypt. For even today, we must endure the hardships of coming out of symbolic Egypt, an exodus of leaving the comforts of slavery to sin and worldly pleasures. Leviticus 23, verses 39 and 40. Also, on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of Yahweh for 7 days. On the first day, speaking of the Feast of Tabernacles, there shall be a Sabbath rest. And on the eighth day, a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before Yahweh, your Elohim, for 7 days. Verses 41 to 43. You shall keep it as a feast to Yahweh for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Our new life in Messiah is to be lived as if we were living in the kingdom. Speaking of the time when we're here and right now, being baptized in the name of Yahshua, basically putting to death the old man, living righteously in the law of Yahweh. Though the Feast of Tabernacles, the prophesied feast, the prophesied millennial reign, is yet at a future time, the principles and lifestyle are to be lived out now in our lives, as well as we walk with Yahshua in spirit and in the truth we find in Scripture. Let's look at John chapter 4, verses 19 through 24. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews," and that word Jews there is the word Yahudim in Hebrew, meaning worshipers of Yah. "You Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." And Yahshua said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Yahudim," is of those believers and those who worship Yahweh. Verse 23, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." Yahweh is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. We are no longer to live as if we are still in the symbolic Egypt that we call the world. Revelation 18, verse 4. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues.'" Now, I've spoken to pastors before and spoken about being called out, and I've been asked, what do you mean by being called out? And you can imagine that they're confused about that because they think that they are in. And so it's a little trepidation explaining to them that if you are not being obedient to the law of Yahweh, if you're not living according to His will, honoring the Sabbath day and the feast of Yahweh, that you are in the world. You have not been called out. And that's hard for many people to hear, especially pastors. Although I have spoken to pastors who say, what you're saying is true. And then dot, 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 but I have a congregation that I'm responsible for. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, if you were responsible as a pastor for your congregation, then you would teach them the truth. And what I thought beyond that was they are not responsible for the congregation. They are responsible for earning a living to live on. That's how many pastors fund their life, is through teaching error. And it's hard for me to say that. I don't like to be condemning. But in spite of the fact that we're not to judge others, we are to discern the truth. And we are to warn people about what will occur if they do not follow the will of our Heavenly Father, Almighty Yahweh. Our walk is to be different, as is our outlook on life, knowing that Yahshua is our King even now. Question number 2 of lesson 13, does the 15th day of the 7th month, according to the biblical calendar, start the timing of the Feast of Tabernacles? How long exactly are we to tabernacle, in other words, to sojourn in temporary dwellings during the Feast of Tabernacles? Well, for that, we need to go to Leviticus 23, and let's read verses 33 through 36. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to Yahweh. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. On the 8th day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. It is a sacred assembly, and you shall do no customary work on it. We might ask a question now, anticipating our next lesson, which of the 7 days is the 8th day on? I'll just let you rest with that. Continuing on in Leviticus 23, verses 42 to 43, we read, you shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Now, the English word native comes from the Hebrew word zarak. Zarak meaning spontaneous growth, or spring up, or to arise. So it would, as far as I can see, it would not be a mistranslation to read the verse, all who have grown as Israelites shall dwell in booths. Many people will say that you have to be of the blood of the Jews in order to worship Adonai. That is not true. The truth is, from the very beginning, there was one law for the native and for the sojourner, for the traveler, those who would come into Israel and be a part of it by worshiping Yahweh according to His will. That's the way it was, that's the way it is, and that's the way it always will be. Numbers 29, verse 12. On the 15th day of the 7th month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work, and you shall keep a feast. And that word feast there is not Modi, but it's the word Chag. Chag, which means a celebration. to Yahweh 7 days. Question number 3. Will no laws be taught in the kingdom, since everyone will be learning about true love and how to have love for everyone? Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Therefore know that Yahweh your Elohim, he is Elohim, the faithful El, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. So, 1,000 generations. We're not going to calculate that, but I think that's much more than 7,000 years. Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 3. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of Yahweh's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Bear in mind that when we read this idea of the latter days, that it's not only speaking of these times now as the beginning of troubles, but also of the time when and after Yahshua returns, a time what's referred to as Zion, as we'll see here. Verse 3, many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the Elohim of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion, out of Zion, shall go forth the law and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. So yes, the law will be taught in the kingdom. Moving on to verse 4 and 5 of Isaiah 2, he shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of Yahweh. And when we read the house of Jacob, we know that this is speaking of all 12 tribes, all of Israel. In Isaiah chapter 30, verses 20 through 21, we read, and though Yahweh gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. We know that in the latter days, even now, there are false teachers and false shepherds who are leading the flock, those who are seeking Yahweh astray. In Micah 4, verse 1, we read, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of Yahweh's house, in other words, his temple, shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. Mountains and hills are Hebrew idioms for strong governments and not so strong governments. 1 John 5, verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of Yahweh, when we love Yahweh and keep his commandments. For this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Is it not true that all evil and false prophesying will be punished swiftly in the coming kingdom? Zechariah 13, verse 3. Answers this question. It reads, it shall come to pass that if anyone still prophesies, then his father and mother who begot him will say to him, you shall not live because you have spoken lies in the name of Yahweh. And his father and mother who begot him shall thrust him through when he prophesies. That's pretty hard times. Zechariah 14, verse 18. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, speaking of Israel,
and also speaking of joining in the Feast of Tabernacles, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which Yahweh strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. We are also told that Yahshua is coming back this time with a rod of iron. Revelation 19, verse 15. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty Yahweh. Yahshua is going to rule with all authority, and there will be no tolerance, zero tolerance, as the phrase is today, for disobedience, as everyone will be expected to obey the law of Yahweh, the way of righteousness. Deuteronomy 6, verse 25. Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all the commandments before Yahweh our Elohim, as he has commanded us. And Isaiah 2, verse 3. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the Elohim of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. The phrase, out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. The word has gone out and is going out and will go out. The law of Yahweh is forever. It is eternal. In Psalm 119, the chapter in Psalms which is exclusively about the law of Yahweh, in verse 172, we read, my tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Question number four. Will all the major cities in the coming tribulation be laid waste? Isaiah 24, verses 3 and verse 12. The land shall be entirely emptied and utterly plundered, for Yahweh has spoken this word. And verse 12, in the city desolation is left, and the gate, in other words, the courts, where civil laws decided and enforced, is stricken with destruction. So yes, everything will be destroyed in that time. Is it possible that during the Feast of Tabernacles, the physical people having coming through the tribulation at the end of the age will need to keep the sacrificial laws until they fully submit and recognize their need for Yahshua, the Messiah, and to keep his father's instructions? So we're asking the question, will there be animal sacrifices in that seventh millennial time? The study recommends reading the seven chapters in the book of Ezekiel, chapters 40 through 46, where the prophet is taken in a vision to the land of Israel, where he sees in a vision the temple mount, the city, the prince, and the law of Yahweh being put into effect. Zechariah 13, verses 8 and 9. And it shall come to pass in all the land, says Yahweh, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one-third shall be left in it. I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, Yahweh is my Elohim. And the words there in the Hebrew are Yahweh Elohai. And this verse stands in the face of those who prophesy that there will be a rapture, that we'll all be taken off the earth before the tribulation comes. That's not the case. If you're taken off the earth, you're one of the two-thirds that are dead The other third will go through the tribulation and be refined by the fire of Yahweh into the kingdom. And just so we understand what this looks like, Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here's the endurance of the saints. Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yahshua. And this begs the question, what is the faith of Yahshua? What is his faith? Is it Judaism? I don't think so. At least Judaism as we see it today. Because the Judaism of today is a remnant of the Pharisees' laws in Yahshua's time. We know that he chastised the Pharisees for having their own doctrines that supplanted, that covered up the law of Yahweh. So we cannot say that the faith of Yahshua is Judaism. Is it Christianity? Is he a Presbyterian? Is he a Baptist? No. It's well known that Christianity has doctrines that are a result of the law put forth by the Roman Catholic Church centuries ago, 1700 years ago. And this is a remnant of that. That does not mean that the Christians and Jews are not our brothers. They are. We know that those of Judaism have preserved the word of Yahweh in a written form. And we know that the Christians worship the Messiah of Israel. Both of them have the word. The Jews have the written word and the Christians have the living word. Yahweh, I believe in all his mercy, will call those who are genuine in their faith and their willingness to abide in the will of Yahweh. He will call them, as we read in Ezekiel 37 and other places in Scripture, that Yahweh will take the house of Judah and the house of Israel, the house of Ephraim, and he will put them both together in his hand, that all will be one. And we just understand that Yahweh is merciful, and if we are genuine and are seeking his way, if we are willing to follow the Messiah as he was instructed by his Father and Elohim, then we will be in that kingdom. And it's my prayer for all of you that in your studies and as you seek Yahweh, that you would read the Scripture for what it says, not what man says about Scripture. And I leave you with this. Hallelujah.